Item 2 from the Milwaukee County Comptroller requesting authorization to amend chapters 32, 44, 56, and 110 of the Milwaukee County Code of General Ordinances to clarify and unify the appeal procedures for all county contracts and bids, and to provide further direction to department heads in the preparation and execution of requests for proposals for professional services.
Thank you. Good morning, Scott Mansky, Milwaukee County Comptroller. The document that you have in front of you is modifications to county ordinance regarding the appeal process for Chapter 110. And to kind of summarize it for you, I'm going to use the memo that was issued by our offices, And I'm going to go to the second page, the recommended changes. The first change that we're attempting to do is to have all appeal processes go through one standard set of processes, which means all procurements and that go through one standard set of process. The chairman brought up at the committee that we had missed one item, which was Chapter 46, which is purchase of service contracts. We've reached out to the Department of Human Services. They're still looking at that issue because the purchase of service is controlled by state statute also. So we're still waiting to follow up with them, so we won't have a change for you today regarding that item. They're still looking at that issue. But in essence, Chapter 32 is procurement through the procurement office. Chapter 44 is public works contracts. Chapter 56 is professional service contracts. So what we're doing is trying to standardize the appeal process related to those three chapters. Chapter 32 was going through a purchasing standardization committee before. Chapter 44, I believe, was Chapter 110, and Chapter 56 did not have a reference at all to Chapter 110 at that time. So generally, RFPs issued by departments under these various might refer to 110 as to the appeal process. But the proposal that we have under here in changing the process is the steps of the process would be as follows. Once a notice is given to the bidders or proposers of the intent to award, then more or less what you've done is you've given a notice to the vendor that who's winning the award and to the vendors who did not win and to the others who did not win the award. Any of the aggrieved party, which means the ones that did not award, have 10 business days to begin to ask their questions about why didn't I win the award? Is there any reasons? Can you tell me about the process? And at that point, it becomes an open record. So if the vendor wants to receive, the decision process that they went through, the score sheets, other type of information. The only thing after my conversations with Mr. Grada that they probably wouldn't receive would be the names of the individuals that were on the committee. But they could get their score sheets, they could get all of the various information that they had at that time. Because one of the issues that we had and that we were kind of resolving through the process is making sure that all of that is open records at that time. But my discussion with Corporation Counsel would be that the aggrieved party or the vendor that didn't win it, all of that information would be open to them, and they may request that information at that time. The department or the authority that issued it, the RFP, would then have 15 days to respond to that information. They could expand it up to 45, but the hope would be that they could respond to that request within 15 days. Once that request has been received by the vendor, then the vendor who did not win has 5 business days to say that they want to enter into an appeal and they want to have a review done of the decision. So they have 5 business days to get that back. And if they want to do that process, then they would submit a deposit of $1,000 towards the cost of the appeal at that point in time. A review then would be done by an independent party. What we had indicated is that we would create a group of 3 reviewers where one would be selected at that time. The 3 reviewers would be people who would have experience in procurements, independent from Milwaukee County, separate from the process, and one of them would be assigned to the project, and then they would have 45 days to review to see if the process, how the process was done. The second to last paragraph on page 2 says that the test to be applied by the reviewer is whether substantial rights of a party were so materially affected by the procedural irregularities during the RFP or bid solicitation process that the notice of intent award should be rescinded. Basically, what that's saying is, was the process that was used in the RFP process, was that fair? You know, did people make mistakes during the process? If you indicated in the RFP that you were going to do the following 10 items in order to come to your decision and you only did 5 of those items, then that would indicate that probably the process was not fair towards it. But their whole intent is to determine whether the process was fair or not. So that is the proposed change in what we're doing to put this into ordinance. We're not taking out all of Chapter 110. We're just carving out for the procurement process, and we're creating a separate section, 110.20, to do the review of these procurements. The rest of 110 would remain in place for other issues as they would come forward for any appeal. For example, if somebody feels they were slighted over reservation for a building in a parks building for a weekend and they feel that that process didn't work for them, that's not a procurement, but they have the ability to do an appeal process, that would still go through Chapter 110. So this new section, 110.20, would only be created for these procurements. Going on to the third page, under Chapter 56 then, it would specifically refer to that any RFP would have to refer to the Chapter 110.20 process for any appeals of awards that would be made. And then the process would still be required that the items have to come within the limits of state statute, but the items would have to come that various items that would have to be provided to the board prior to the final approval. So if the item was over $300,000, you would have to list all of the items that are indicated there to provide all of that information to the board. So the board still has a decision point to make after this appeal process has occurred. In all cases, too, if the vendor felt slighted by the process and they didn't feel that the reviewer process was unfair, they still have the option to go to court if they want to take these items to court, too. Under Chapter 32, currently there is a purchasing standardization committee, which is to hear any issues regarding any issues that come from a procurement process or issues with the RFP. This would now change to Chapter 110.20 for the appeal process under Chapter 32. With regards to public works contracts are currently just referred to Chapter 110. This modification of the ordinance would now refer to Chapter 110.20 under the appeal process. Under Chapter 46, which is not included here, the purchase of service contracts, there is no reference to currently an appeal process under Chapter 46. So our thinking is that it would simply require a modification ordinance to refer to 110.20, but because of the state statute requirements, we've asked certain questions of DHHS and BHD their consideration of the PO process and whether 110-20 would fit into that. So those are the recommendations in the resolution that we have attached, but I wanted to lead you through those changes that we are proposing.
It's been referenced that you've been proposing this for a long time, but this item just came to us last month. Can you just briefly clarify that, or what that there was an item that was withdrawn, I believe, last year?
Yes. Last year, I believe it was in March or April, I submitted some recommendations for some changes to the 110 process as a result of some of the confusion that was occurring between for one of the contracts, and I can't remember which specific contract. The pharmacy contract. And the board's need to want to know what all of the information was regarding the review, and the inability to provide that information to you in the process. And so I made the suggestions at that time. There were a number of questions regarding it, and I realized that I didn't have it quite figured out at that time, so I asked for it to be taken off the subsequent month when it came out.
So the previous proposal was more about what information was available, the issue that we ultimately resolved in court, right? And is now incorporated here.
It was making changes to 110 as to the process, because there was some indecision as to, you know, which comes first. Do you go to the committee first, right, or do you go to the 110 process first? And I felt, in order to provide full information to the board, you needed to go through the appeal process first. So what I was asking for in that process when I originally submitted 110 is to indicate that it should head through the appeal process first, and I had delineated different dates in there. It was a longer period that I was delineating in my first round of it. So to that process. And this is intended to be a shorter process and to focus on the items of whether the process was fair or not.
Okay. But the rest of this relating to the panel and the changing what is the criteria, that's all new. Right?
That's new, yes.
Mr. Grady?
Mr. Chairman, I have in front of me the prior proposal that was in front of the committee that was later withdrawn. It had changes in 110 with respect to the timeline, which are different from what's in front of you today. It also had a new proposal for a panel at that time, a new panel to hear these appeals, which has been changed to the panel or to the review process that's in the proposal today. So there were proposals in the prior proposal to change both the timeline and the who does the reviews. That's been changed now to this proposal, which has a shortened timeline, as Mr. Mansky said, and a different review personnel to do the review. So the prior, I guess what I'm, the point I'm trying to make is the prior proposal did address the appeal process in a different manner, but it did address the stages of the appeal process, who is going to do the appeal. And over time, I think there's just been a rethinking of how to structure that. It also, this current proposal ties in the other chapters, which I'm not sure the prior proposal did.
Okay. Thank you. Questions? Oh, I'm sorry. Willie. Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Comptroller Mansky, with respect to the American Bar Association's recommendations, as far as these contract award reviewers are concerned, I'd like to hear more about how they would be chosen. I understand that the county executive would provide some names, but in this highly political atmosphere, I just want to make sure that for the people who are chosen that they do have experience in procurement. I don't know if it means that they're supposed to have so many years experience in procurement. I like to have the qualifications fleshed out more, at least for my understanding.
What we've defined in the process, or what we've defined in the ordinance, is that the county executive would nominate individuals to serve as the reviewers, subject to confirmation by the county board. We really didn't indicate within the ordinance, except for the fact that we said they shall possess experience and qualifications in the procurement process or legal matters related to procurement, and that they could not be county officials or officers or any of that. We really didn't provide anything additional to that in here, but what we wanted to do is to have somebody who's experienced in the procurement process to look at the items and to know what generally how bids are done related to that. But to kind of, towards the process, the exec may indicate the people he is recommending, but that would be subject to the county board's confirmation of those people.
Well, that part I understand, sir, but what I'm interested in is qualifications. I'm interested in making sure that there's some minimum threshold, okay, as it relates to the experience of these reviewers, and primarily because I don't want something, I don't want these awards to be reviewed by individuals who just have a year or two of procurement experience. I want somebody who has at least maybe 10 years or so of procurement experience. At least that's what I would want.
Mm-hmm.
And as
mm-hmm.
a supervisor, I'm not going to vote for this unless something like that is put into this ordinance.
No, I think I understand that, and I think that is that's a change that can be made to this. I think I would request the same type of thing, that you have a high level of experience with the individuals that are here.
Yes.
Because I think you want a timely response to people, and I think you want a process that it would help provide a respect towards the process, too, by having that experience.
Thank you, Mr. Maskey. Mr. Chairman, I believe Mr. Lee maybe wanted to weigh in. Mr. Lee?
There's other questions from committee?
Briefly.
It looked as if you wanted to say something.
Oh, in relationship to credentials related to a reviewer.
Yes.
Recommendation is you could possibly insert qualifications regarding certification by NIGP they really don't do the certifying. It's a national institute. So a certified procurement officer. Certified procurement manager, and in those credentials processes, they do require classroom training, continuing education, and years of experience for each of those certifications. I necessarily wouldn't narrow it down to one organization, but you could say broadly recognized. A specific example, when the comptroller was doing this, I received a request from someone related to what type of people could we attract to this, and I received three sets of credentials from three individuals, and one of them was the former chief of procurement for the state of Arizona.
Okay.
That would be willing to, on an on-call basis, review our acquisition. So getting qualified individuals, I don't believe, will be unburdensome requirement.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Director, if you can provide me with some qualifications, if you can provide me with something at some point, maybe on the board floor, I would offer some qualifications to be more specific. Because again, I want qualified people to review, to be these reviewers, as opposed to somebody with 2 or 3 years. And you gave some examples. If you could put those examples in writing, email them to me, and then I would like to maybe on the board floor offer an amendment to go forward. At least that's my idea, and I'm only one supervisor. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay.
Supervisor Stasiunas? No? Pass?
For all my time to Mr. Lee.
Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think everyone has realized today that this is very complicated and lots of moving parts here, so I would like to make a motion to lay the item over to the call of the chair so that way we can have some time to kind of evaluate and digest this whole thing and get a greater understanding of the process before we go changing it. So the motion is to lay over to the call of the chair.
Okay. Mr. Mansky, do you have a sense of how long it's going to take to get that missing Chapter 46 issue incorporated? Or
One of the individuals was on vacation, and they were looking for somebody else, so I'm thinking that I should have it within a week.
Okay.
Sometime next week.
Any other questions or comments from committee? The motion on the table is to lay over to the call of the chair by Supervisor Weishaupt. Seeing no other comments or questions from committee on the motion for layover to the call of the chair.
Supervisors Borkowski.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Weishaupt.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Rainey.
Aye.
Stasiunas.
No.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
6 ayes, 1 no. The motion to lay over to the call of the chair prevails.
Thanks for your time.
Item 5.